Amen. Let us remain standing and open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and reading from verse 5 through 7. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come this morning and with a great desire to know more about this time of your great departure from the earth. And we know there is coming a time when your Holy Spirit will finally pull back from this earth, and we want to be ready for that time. Because that has to do with our redemption. It has to do with our going home. So Father, we ask you please to help us to better understand this great departure from the earth, because as you are in this world, so are we. And when you leave, we want to leave with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the Weiss translation from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7 says, "Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I kept on telling you these things? And now you know with a positive assurance that which, namely, the departure of the church, the saints being assembled to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed as to his true identity in a strategic appointed time. For the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who is holding the lawlessness down, will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity. And then shall the lawless one be disclosed in his true identity." So we see here that the scripture speaks first of the saints assembling to the Lord, and then it speaks of their departure from the earth. Then, as if in the same breath, Paul also tells us that this will happen when the Holy Spirit himself departs from the midst of humanity. So we see that there's coming a time when God, who is now allowing sin to go on, will get fed up and leave the earth. And when that happens, then watch out, for all hell will break loose at that time. Now, the Holy Spirit cannot depart from the midst of humanity if you were not here in the midst of humanity to begin with. So you see the essentiality of God's presence in that while he is here, he is still protecting and he's still nurturing the saints. But when he leaves, if we are not amongst those who leave with him, then there will be no more protection. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10 we read, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So we see at the time of the great departure of the elect, those who are filthy will remain filthy. Those who are unjust, that means unjustified, shall remain in an unjustified condition. From questions and answers, Brother Bram said, "After the bride is raptured, will any of the foolish virgin be saved, or will they all be lost?" No. See, everything will be finished for the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. The Spirit of God leaves the earth, and he that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. In other words, the sanctuary becomes smoky where the attorney is standing to plead the case. Christ leaves the sanctuary. His day of mediatorial work is over. The rapture comes. He leaves from the sanctuary. He goes forth and takes the book of redemption and claims everything that he redeemed. There's no more mediatorial work. How many understands that? I got it on one of the seals, I believe it was, that Christ comes forth to claim his mediatorial work. So those who are unjust are not just justified, those who are not justified will remain in their unjustified condition. So whatever condition you are in at that time, you become crystallized in it. And there will be no chance of salvation for you at that time. Your time of salvation is now. From the 10 virgins, Brother Bram said, now don't get the rapture of the church and the white throne judgment mixed up. Because the rapture of the church, there is no judgment. See? You done met it right down here. That's right. For they which are in Christ are free from judgment. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. How do we do that? We come into Christ and are baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, one body. We're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, and God has already judged that body. He could not stand us in the judgment again because he's already judged that body. And by the permission and grace of Christ, he brings us into himself. 1 Corinthians 12. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into that one body and free from all judgment because he's done stood the judgments. Oh, aren't you so thankful for him? He took the judgment for us. No more judgment. But those who refuse to come into him, that body, that mystical body, how do we get into it? By shaking hands? No. By letter? Nope. By some sort of baptism of water? Nope. By one Spirit, Holy Spirit, we are baptized into that body. Notice Paul tells us that we are to be gathered together to Christ first. Then when he leaves, we leave with him. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So you see, it all begins with a gathering together unto him at his great parousia. And then once he manifests his great appearing, then he discloses himself, and that is his apocalypsis, or the unveiling of himself. That is his great declaration, which is a shout, his message. You see, God comes down with a message to gather together all that are in Christ. He declares his presence and then fully discloses himself as to his true identity. Therefore, if you are not in the gathering, you will not be in the voice, which is the resurrection either, because it takes the message to transform the body. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Apostle Paul teaches in the book of Romans, chapter 12. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. So you see, the transformation comes via the renewing of the mind. But really, what the renewing of the mind is that the Word of God is taking over the mind of the believer. And in John 6 and 63, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, we hear the Apostle Peter telling us, being born again by an uncorruptible seed, which is the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And Romans 8 and verse 11, Paul says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, the words which Jesus spoke are the Spirit and their life. And they are that which makes the believer. It makes him come alive. And it is at the time of the great appearing, when God comes to manifest himself in his true identity, that we become like him. Paul said in Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. I want you to think about that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. What does that mean? It means as he is, so are we. His life reflecting through you. The hunger that he has for his own word reflecting through you. John said in 1 John 3 and verse 2, he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And of course we have a promise of the change of our bodies. As Paul spoke in Philippians 3, in verse 21. He said, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What am I talking about? I'm talking about being so focused on Christ, letting everything else go, but being so focused on Him that as He is, you are. When He moves, you move. When He speaks, you listen. When He calls, you're ready. And again, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. Adam, could you please put that away? Well, thank you. Now, Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, when He raised not up Christ, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fall asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ, that is parousia. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he, God, must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That's the feet of Jesus. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he, God, hath put all things under the feet of his Son Jesus. But when he, God, hath saith that he put all things under the Son of God, it is manifest that God himself is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, the Son of God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto God, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. But now here's a real question that Paul is asking in verse 35. He says, some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now Paul actually says that that's a foolish question, because it only is natural that when a seed is planted, it comes back as a manifestation of the plant life that was planted. And so he says in verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body, but that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and other birds. There are bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither can corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet of God shall sound. and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we see that there are several things that we must understand concerning the third great departure, which is the departure of the Lord from this earth. We must understand that when He goes, we will go with Him. We must understand that in order to go with Him, that we must first receive a change in our bodies. We must also understand that in order to receive a change in our bodies, we must first receive a change in our mind. We must take into us the living Word of God. And as we take in the living Word of God, it actually brings with it the living, breathing Spirit of the living God. And without the Spirit of God living and abiding in our mortal beings, we will in no way go with Him in a rapture. Now the rapture will take place we're into it. One third of the way into it. And almost one third of the way past one third of the way, because it's been 43 years since the shout. The voice of the resurrection is the very next thing. Brother Branham said, the next thing we're waiting for is the change of the body. And if your mind isn't changed, your heart isn't changed, the body will not be changed. I'm sorry, and I would not want to be here 5 minutes. That's why we ought to take time to really seek and find out what condition we are in. Are we ready? Therefore, prerequisite to our body change, there must be first a spirit change. We must receive the Holy Spirit, for without it we cannot be changed in our bodies like unto His glorious image. Therefore, first and foremost, we must be focused upon Him, and He is the Word in our midst. The Apostle John said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship together with Him. For nowhere in Scripture does it speak contrary to this. Nowhere in Scripture does it speak of the Lord leaving at a different time from the earth than the saints leave. So if we are gathered together unto Him first, then it is He that takes us up from the midst of humanity, just like Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain. You see, we must be focused on the presence of God, that when He goes, we go. And if we're focused on everything else, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. If you're focused on fashions, you're going to miss it. If you're focused on jobs, you're going to miss it. In the days of, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, they ate, they drank, they builded, they gave in marriage, they were married. You focused on these things, you're going to miss it. Brother Bram said from the Feast of the Trumpets, now as soon as this church, the bride, is drawn together, she's taken up in that mystery of the seventh seal, or the seventh seal, the mystery going. And the Jews is called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet, which is two prophets, Elijah and Moses. And they come back, and there's where the Pentecostals is all mixed up. They're looking for something to happen, and the church is done gone. And that's to the Jews. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Him. So it must bring a gathering together of the elect by walking in the light. From his sermon, Question and Answers, Brother Branham said, and then when God's people begins to gather back together, there's unity, there's power, see? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. It'll be in the minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. Now, do you think that everybody's coming to one place, Jeffersonville, Indiana? I wouldn't believe it for 1 minute. That place is a sinkhole of depravity. That city, the whole city is just a sinkhole. When I came down from Minnesota the first time to Jeffersonville in 1976, I couldn't believe that the atmosphere of the place was just devilish. You think God is going to gather together the bride to Jeffersonville, Indiana? No, He's gathering them together to Him, and He's the Word. The Bible says we'll be gathered together in one, in Christ. That's why I travel the world. I mean, God has used me to gather the elect together around Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as many brothers and sisters in Christ that God will allow, for when the elect are gathered together unto Him, then the process of going home will begin. You see, we must be walking in the light as He is walking in the light. He is the Word, and He has come to shed light upon Himself. Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare Him that He is here. And from blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham said, Moses didn't bring the children into the promised land. He was the lawgiver. But he didn't bring the children into the promised land. Joshua took them over. See? And the Holy Spirit's the one that's taking them over now. Christ made the way and the plans and was the giver of the law and so forth. But the Holy Spirit takes the church to the promised land, the rapture, taking it up, the Holy Spirit in the rapture. Moses didn't come back. He was taken off the scene. He didn't come back to bring the people in. Jesus was raised from the dead, and He spent 50 days with the disciples, but He didn't take them in at that time. The Holy Spirit did under a teaching ministry. And though Brother Branham come back from the dead, they still won't believe Him. It wouldn't do any good. But the Holy Spirit has come back. The Holy Spirit is waiting for His people to become sensitive enough to His presence, to His Word, that they'll be ready to go when He goes. From the first seal, Brother Brown said, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have now in our midst becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, then we'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Holy Spirit who is now in our midst, when He takes us out of the midst of humanity, there'll be a great gathering one day, as we read the other night, a great gathering together, then we'll go home. So you see, the life of God's Spirit must be in us. And if it is in us, then His life will also manifest in our mortal bodies. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in His true character, then shall you also appear. Then shall you also manifest in your true character with Him in glory, with Him in doxa, with Him in the same opinion, the same assessment, the same judgment. From the Easter seal, Brother Branham said, now that quickening power that comes upon Jesus, quicken Him to manifest every promise of the Word for that day. So does the Holy Spirit that comes upon us in this day. It's not a mockery, Holy Spirit. If it's not the devil mocking the Holy Spirit, but is the real Holy Spirit, it'll manifest the promise of this hour. When it fell upon Luther, it manifested the promise of that hour. When it fell upon Wesley, it manifested the promise of that hour. When it falls in this day, it manifests the promises of this hour. When it fell upon Moses, it manifested the promise of that hour. When it fell upon Noah, it manifested the promise of that hour. When it fell upon Jesus, it manifested the promise of that hour. See, it's the Holy Spirit coming down to quicken, to make alive those people that's foreordained of God to be in the rapture. Oh, that is, if He's a true eagle, He will understand the message of the hour if He's a true eagle. So all these birds that are not eagles, they claim you don't have to understand it. They're not eagles. That's why. Look, this word, this message is our ticket out of here. You had better be studying it. You had better be entering into it. You had better be spending more time with it than you are with every other distraction that this world can give you. And the only ones that will go with Him when He leaves this earth will have to be so much like Him that they will go with him as part of him. From the rapture, Brother Branham said, now the rapture is only, this rapture that we're talking about is only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. As Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. The bride, rather, is the one that's going to be in the rapture, that alone. Nothing but the bride, the elected one, foreknown of God from the beginning, the Father's spiritual gene. That's all that's going in the rapture. Therefore, if the Spirit of God is calling a bride out of a church, then that is why the shuck is pulling away from us. Because this message was not sent for the unbelievers. It was sent for those who will believe it. From hear ye him, Brother Branham said. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get this his message to you all the time. I don't have to listen to them, little nitwit preachers. I'll do what I want to do. Go out, go right ahead. That shows what's in you. A fellow said to me some time ago, he said, I don't care what you say, what anything says. I don't believe in divine healing. I said, of course not. It wasn't sent for unbelievers. It was only sent for those who believe. It's believers that receive it, not unbelievers. It wasn't meant for them. It was sent to condemn them. Remember, the same waters that drowned the world are the same waters that saved Noah. That's right. And the same Holy Spirit and the same old-fashioned gospel that will take the church home someday in the rapture will condemn and bring judgment to the unbeliever. That's exactly right. There we stand. Like the man that said, well, Brother Branham was wrong when he said that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. I said, how could you say that Brother Branham was wrong? Where's your vindication? He said, well, it's just that there's no Bible for it. And I said, if I could show you a Bible for it, would you believe it? He said, yeah, I'll believe it. And I showed him where Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the word forsaken means totally abandoned. In fact, in Spanish, they don't have a word forsaken. It's abandoned. It's the word abandoned. Well, he said, well, I still don't believe it. I said, well, that's because you're an unbeliever. He said, well, that's not very nice. I said, you're the one that says you don't believe it. That makes you a non-believer. If you don't believe everything that that prophet of God said, you're an unbeliever. And if you don't live it, you're a make-believer. That's pretty strong words. But they need to be said. In John 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So they don't want the light. They won't come to the light because it bothers them. It runs against the grain. From perseverance, Brother Branham said, on the very thing that killed the unbelieving world saved Noah. That's the same as it is today, the same stumbling block. The Holy Spirit that's making the world where they don't want it. Is the thing that they're turning down is the very thing that'll take the church up. The Holy Spirit will take the church in a rapture. No, they don't want him. And you know, he is the Word. The great revelation of Christ, and the world doesn't want it. Then that ought to tell you who in this message is opposing it. Those that are of the world. Now let me just close by reading a few quotes from Brother Branham, God's prophet for this age. From his sermon, Thyatiran Church Age, Brother Branham said, before one drop of water fell, Noah was in the ark. Before the fire could strike Sodom, Lot was gone. Father, we believe before the atomic powers ever blow this earth to pieces, the church will be gone. We're so glad, Lord, and we know that the bombs are hanging in the hangars tonight, and we can look towards heaven and see the Son of Man rising from his throne to start towards the earth for the rapture of the church. And we know that his precious feet won't touch this sinful earth at that time. For as Rebekah rode the camel and jumped off the camel right between the house of Abraham and out in the field, she met her bride, or her groom. O God, the church will meet our groom in the air. For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. Oh, help us tonight, Lord. Give us sweetness of our spirit and take all bitterness and indifference away from us. And may we be so melted with the Holy Spirit. And again, from How Can I Overcome, Brother Branham said, he that overcomes all those worldly things of this age, what will he do? All will sit with him in his throne, will go in the rapture when he comes. Oh my. What do I care then? What should we care what the world says? What should we care what anybody else says? The great Holy Spirit is among us. His pillar of fire leads us and guides us. His words are vindicated before us. His love is in our heart. And from the ever-present water, from the rock. Now, if we understand, see, where we stopped right at the book of Revelation, where the church was taken up into glory, then the rest of it is dealing with the Jews. Not with the church at all. It's dealing with the Jewish nation. Therefore, we have to drop back from the rapture of the church and take, and we see here what takes place during those seals and time of the Gentile church, the church being gone, and with the nation of Israel, it drops back and brings Israel from the time it left off with them up to the modern time and the coming of Messiah, when they will receive the Messiah. Now you get it, the church is taken up. God dealt first with the church ages. We took that. Then the church is taken up into glory. Then the Holy Spirit goes back and gets Israel as a nation and brings it on down to this far while the wedding supper is going on, and then brings them back again at the end of the time. I'll have my blackboard up and be able to draw it out and teach it when the time comes. Then the Lord returns with the bride and Israel sees her. And oh, what a time that will be. From what the Holy Ghost was given for, Brother Branham said, God is waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time, when God can pour into His fullness, His power, His resurrection. That when the church and Christ become so close together, till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead, and we go into the rapture. Now, we're going to show after a while that just those who are filled with the Holy Ghost goes in the rapture. For the rest of the dead live not for the space of 1,000 years. That's right. Just Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit filled people was all that went in the rapture. Now, are we filled? You know if you're full or not. I believe when every thought is His thoughts, that's when you're filled. Brother Branham said you could be filled with the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still go to hell. If it's just in the spirit realm. You get excited when the music's playing, that's in the spirit realm. What about your soul? Is your soul hungry and thirsting? Is your soul daily feeding on the Word of God? That's who you are. That tells you, that's your barometer. That tells you where you are in Christ. Brother Vail taught us years ago there's a stature and there's a state and a status. Your state is who you are. Your status is who you are, your sons of God. But your state is the condition that you're in. You say, well, I am a son of God. That doesn't mean that you're going in a rapture. No, it doesn't. Only elected, royal seed go in the rapture. Brother Branham said in the adoption, he said, though the boy is a son, yet he's not adopted until he has the mind of the Father. So unless you have the mind of the Father, you will not be adopted. The mind of the Father is not finding every little excuse to run from the Word. It lays in the presence of the Son to ripen. From Abraham and his seed after him, Brother Branham said, when Abraham's body was changed, Sarah's body was changed like it never had been changed before. Now, when we all know that when Jesus comes, we'll be caught up in a rapture, and we know our bodies will have to be changed first. And it won't have to be just go back to young men and women, but it'll have to be changed because Abraham and Sarah's body had to be changed in a way that they could receive the promised Son. Now think about it. Abraham and Sarah's bodies didn't just go back to being young again. They went back to being young again and were filled with life. Sarah's body wasn't filled with life for 75 years, for 90 years. Her body couldn't produce a child. It didn't have life.
But God changed the body to receive life, to receive the promised Son. And He's got to change your body to receive the promised Son.
And it won't have to go back to being a young men and women, but it'll have to be changed because Abraham and Sarah's body had to be changed in a way that they could receive the promised Son. That's Abraham. His body had to be changed to receive the promised Son after being justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, called by election, manifested God of glory in the midst of him. And then his body was changed in order to receive the promised Son. From the Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, when God sends a gift to the people and they recognize it, it's always a golden age. But when they refuse it, there's nothing left but chaos for that generation. Now listen closely. If God had sent the Holy Spirit in this age for a sign and we reject it, there's nothing left but for destruction. But if we refuse it, we'll sure be blown off this earth. The atomic bombs are hanging ready now, each one afraid to pull the trigger. But someday they'll have too much vodka and press the trigger. And when that bomb passes through that radar sound, when it goes through there, there'll be others go the other way. And you know what'll take place. The world can't stand it. And the gospel's been preached and Christ is being made manifest to the people just before the rapture of the taking away of the church. Before that can happen, the church will be gone. And if we know that that could happen before morning, and before that happens, the church will be gone. Before one drop of rain fell, Noah was in the ark. Before one speck of fire fell from heaven, Lot was out of Sodom. Before that atomic bomb can destroy the nations, the church will be gone in glory. As it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. See the preparation we spoke of last night. And when we hear that there are something like 50 to 100 nuclear bombs that have been smuggled into this country over the past 40 years. And they're sitting now in our cities. When we hear that the Iranians are working on nuclear fusion. When we hear that the terrorists are just trying to get their hands on a nuclear substance. Brother Brown said, before one goes, we'll be in the arms of Christ. How much closer is it than we think? I think we all sit back and we say, you know, hopefully we'll have a warning and maybe we'll have a week to get ready. Listen, if you have a warning and you have a week to get ready, I believe you'll have already missed it. You get ready now. You start preparing your lives now. You start praying, not every day, not every hour, but as Paul said, without ceasing, constantly in prayer. From who is this Melchizedek, Brother Branham said, like you women claiming that you got the Holy Ghost and going out here and wearing shorts and things, how could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you let you even do such a thing as that? It just can't be so. Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a holy spirit. And then when you become subject to that spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that spirit. And that spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest or quickened, hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. There's no question. And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture with. It's the earnest. A sick person laying, dying, nothing left but death. That's all can happen. I've seen the shadows of people done eat up with cancer and tuberculosis and seen them persons a little while after that perfectly normal and strong. If there is no divine healing, then there's no resurrection because divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. Amen. And from the message of faith, he said the only way we'll be able to go in the rapture is when the body comes to receive the Spirit again. The raptured people, that's in the covenant. And the covenant is a circumcision by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's Abraham's seed. Amen. And from Abraham and his seed after him, Brother Branham said, well, the church has come through justification. Who performed justification? God did. The church came through sanctification. Who authored sanctification? God did. The church received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Who brought forth the baptism of the Holy Ghost? God did. Then who's going to bring forth the rapture? Well, the church has come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, gifts manifested to it. And now what? The Spirit of God moving in the church, doing the same works that Jesus did before he left as a promise. And what's the next thing? The change. The next thing that happened to Abraham was a changed body. He had to have it or he'd never got the son. And the next thing that happens to the church is the rapture. And we'll have to be changed and caught up in the air to meet him. We can't meet him on earth. We've got to go into heaven, go into the air to meet him. It's the coming son, the promised son. Amen. We're looking for him now for hundreds of years. He will come someday, but the next thing for the church is to be changed. We've had every sign, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, placing of a son, manifestation of the Spirit. Now what? The changing of the body for the rapture. From Jehovah Jireh. And when he took the life of his own son at Calvary, he took him apart and he took the body up into heaven and he set it on his right hand and he sent the Spirit out of him, the Holy Spirit, back to the earth. And the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus Christ will have to be operating in his church to make them coincide together at the rapture, or it won't go up at that time. The Spirit that was in Jesus will have to be in his church, or the two pieces won't dovetail together. The life of the church and the life of Christ cannot dovetail together. The body is sitting there to make reconciliation, to make intercession upon our confession, and the Spirit's in the church. The question is it in you? From Israel in Egypt. And when the Holy Ghost is given out, the same Holy Spirit that brought the body of Jesus out of the grave will rapture. And that covenant that has to dovetail as he tore there and gave the body, went back to God, and the Spirit came back to the earth. Then your spirit will have to be the same kind of spirit, or it'll miss the place going together. Or miss that place going together. Yes, sir. Not because you make yourself, but because something, the love of God, has swept into your soul and has tore every earthly idol out. And from handwriting on the wall. Because if your spirit is still an intellectual conception, you're earthbound. But the Spirit of God that come out of heaven comes into your heart and gives you the Holy Spirit in you. When the tribulation comes, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, goes back to its maker. And you go with it. No matter how religious you are, it won't go unless there's something in there to take you. Remember, Rebecca watered the power that packed her home to meet Isaac. Brother Branham said, we must water the Holy Spirit because he loves the Word. From what is the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said, remember, the same rain that the unbeliever made fun of was the same rain that saved Noah and his family. See? The same Spirit, Holy Ghost, that people are making fun of and says is crazy and a bunch of nuts, it's insanity, it's the same thing that'll rapture the church and take it up at the last days. Will bring judgment upon the unbelievers. That's right. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Blessed are they, may I say this in the sincerity of my heart, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for it, for they shall be filled. And from Abraham, Brother Abraham said, if you ever go in the rapture, you're going to have the same spirit in you that was in Jesus Christ. That's God's covenant with his church. Because Paul said, if the spirit that was in Christ be in you, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. It's not Brother Branham coming back to quicken you. It's the spirit of Christ that was in Jesus that raised him from the dead. It's the same spirit of Christ that must be in you to quicken, to change your mortal body, to make the Word come alive to you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we just lay ourselves upon thine altar this morning, believing, Father, that if we are not quickened, I pray that you would quicken each and every one here that is not quickened. I pray, Father, that you would so quicken them and make them alive to your presence. Make them alive to your life. Make them alive to the Word for this hour, to the revelation of Jesus Christ, to the manifestation of the sons of God. Help us, Father, to realize the day and hour, the lateness of the hour. And as we see, all hell is bent against this revelation. We see the government soon will try to stop this revelation. But Father, we're standing firm with it. And we pray this great revelation of your presence. We pray that the great understanding and the reality of your being here, that when you pull out from this earth, we'll pull out with you, because
Your son Jesus said, I pray, Father, that you help them overcome the world, even as I have overcome the world. And Lord, if we're walking in the light, then we're not walking in the world. But if we're walking in the light as you were in the light, even though our bodies may be here one day when you decide to pull out completely, our bodies will be changed to pull out with you. And this we're longing for. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.